This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, in the studio on my own, but I will be joined later on a catch-up Zoom by Jill Serkin, and that's after we've heard from our next guest. But I'd like to say a big Business Bunker thank you because we're pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates Group. They're going to be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. If you'd like to find out more about Locke Associates Group, go to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk. That's Locke, spelled L-O-C-H, lockassociates.co.uk. Thank you so much for supporting the Business Bunker show. On that last interview, we've had a tweet from Sandra Daruwala. About the interview that's coming up. And she says, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, Jules, loving the show so far, though I've got a five-year-old demanding constant attention. Yeah, very interested to hear the second interview, as my new premises will have flexible hire business spaces. Well, that's really good. And we're going to hear from Ross in a moment. Flexibility, I think, is going to be the key from 2022 onwards. In terms of commercial space, I'm sure. But Sandra, thank you so much for tweeting us. Do keep the tweets coming, everyone. We've had a tweet from Kaz at Whitcomb HR just saying hi. Hello, Kaz. Hope you're well. What else have we got here? Tenterden Chamber have tweeted to say they're listening. Hi, guys. Thank you for listening in. Yep, I think I've covered most of them. Do you know what? I think it's probably time that we talk to our next guest, don't you? Let's hear from Ross Feeney. Ross is the CEO of Tunbridge Wells Together.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Mr. Ross Feeney. Ross is the CEO of Business Improvement District Company, Tunbridge Wells Together. Ross, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. It's lovely to see you.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's great to see you. Can you start off, just for those listeners that may not be aware, give us just a very brief overview of Tunbridge Wells Together, what it's all about?
Yeah, sure. So we're what's called a business improvement district company. So we represent around about 650 businesses and levy paying companies in Tunbridge Wells. They pay us a levy, or they contribute a levy each year towards our budget. And we use that money to invest back into the town centre on enhancements and improvements that improve the town centre, make it a nice place, a nicer place for people to visit, and also a stronger trading environment for those companies to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole idea behind this is a designated area in the town centre and trying to react to some of the things that have gone on to what we now call, you know, the breakdown of the high street, in terms of, you know, the retail situation as we see it. And of course, these things came about long before COVID and the lockdown, which has exacerbated a lot of issues. So how long has the bid been in place in Tunbridge Wells, Ross?
So we have a five-year term, and we're halfway now through our second year. So we've got another 3.5 years to go.
Okay, cool. And you've got a lot of businesses in your district. So 650, did you say?
Yeah, it's around about 650 businesses contribute each year. So it's a large business base, and it's made up of a broad cross range of retailers, leisure and hospitality companies, and also office and commercial based businesses. So it's a really nice, strong, vibrant mix that we've got in the town centre.
Absolutely. Now, there's been lots of words said about retail, and just recently, in the last week or so, we've heard that Boohoo have taken over Debenhams, and Arcadia has been taken over, and both of those retail empires will not be operating clicks and mortar. They've both been taken over by online companies. That has a tremendous impact on jobs, and of course also the high street. I don't think certainly Debenhams didn't have a place in Tunbridge Wells, but I'm sure Arcadia did. So yeah,
there was a number of the Arcadia businesses were represented on the high street, and I think, you know, we extend our best wishes to all those employees of the company that work locally that now find themselves back in the jobs market. It's a very challenging time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like so many things, though, you know, we live in a changing world and we have to respond to that changing world. So I just want to get your views on how you, Ross, as a business improvement district, because this is, you know, totally where your remit is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How do you see things unfolding in Tunbridge Wells? Tunbridge Wells is a lovely town. It's got a great, vibrant shopping centre. A leisure industry when we had one, you know, and there's loads of lovely eateries and all kinds of things in Tunbridge Wells. Fabulous place. But how do you see it unfolding? What are the kind of things that you're seeing in terms of commercial usage and the type of organisations that are in your town centre and you wish to attract to your town centre?
So I mean, you've given Tunbridge Wells a fantastic plug there. So thank you very much. I mean, and I agree wholeheartedly. What our overarching aim is to make sure that Tunbridge Wells is a destination of choice rather than one of habit. Yeah. You know, it's great that people come out and do their weekly shop. And support our retailers and our local businesses, but we want people to recognise Tunbridge Wells as a high quality destination where they can come and spend quality time with friends and family, as well as to work. So a bit like the old Mars Bar advert, you know, live, work and play.
Yeah,
you know, that's the type of town centre that we're looking for. Now, the backdrop of that, of course, is, you know, the town centres everywhere, and Tunbridge Wells is not immune to this, have been sort of suffering from an onslaught of challenges over about 40 years. You know, yeah. First of all, there was the impact on independent businesses of the arrival of supermarkets. Then there was the sort of the fad of out-of-town shopping centres being the favoured place. And now things are coming back into town centres. But of course, there's the twin challenges of e-commerce and now COVID. So yeah. I think what we were seeing it before the pandemic, but the pandemic has certainly accelerated it, is that we're seeing a sort of generational shift in how people use our town centres. Mm. So you mentioned we're losing some of our larger, more national retailers, and that's opening up space across the high street. And we're keen to make sure those spaces become utilised for a commercial rather than a residential use. So we're absolutely fundamentally opposed to any kind of piecemeal regeneration of this property into sort of flats, because although we do, you know, we recognise people need places to live, it's got to be done in a strategic way that supports the sort of the ongoing sort of Darwinist evolution, if you like, of the town centre.
Sure.
So, you know, we need to see more leisure businesses coming in. So if you take some of these larger retail units that might struggle to be filled in the short to medium term, they can be used for things like flexible co-working spaces. They can be used for different types of leisure activity. So it could be a small art house cinema. It could be something like a panic room, you know, different types of eateries. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, there's a great trend at the moment towards sort of micro breweries, you know, sort of yeah. where you have breweries sort of making their product on site. So we're basically wanting to encourage the continuation of a vibrant town centre, but we're also recognising that because of the pandemic, we're seeing a lot of corporates in London and the city looking at whether they really need to have these large, huge sort of shiny buildings with their names on the top that cost them millions of pounds a year, when actually they could have a workforce that's closer to home, has a greater work-life balance, and ultimately saves them on their bottom line. So we're saying to businesses, you know, forget the large buildings in the city, think about more regional hub and spoke type models, and look at Tunbridge Wells. We have we have some great existing commercial space, and the council, to their credit, are very receptive to developments that encourage more commercial space. We have a really thriving local residential community that are they're well educated and they're keen to work. So why would you want to spend 4,000 or 5,000 pounds a year and nearly 500 hours a year of your life commuting into London when you can actually effectively do the same job but do it either from home or closer to home?
I think that's absolutely right. And I think if there's anything that you could say is a positive at all that's come out of the lockdown, it's the fact that people have realised that you can work from home, you can work flexibly, you can work remotely. I think people have also realised they don't actually like working at home. you know, it's when it's new, it's great. But after a little while, it becomes a bit tedious trying to shut the dog up while you're zooming and stuff like that. So I think it's you're absolutely right, Ross. I think it's about having a balance and it's about having flexible space. As a businessman myself, I own a number of companies. I own a number of premises, or at least a number of premises. And one of the big ramifications for me as a businessman of lockdown has been that my premises needs have changed, but I'm actually locked into long leases. And that is not something that's going to happen going forward. I'm going to, you know, as time evolves, I'm going to look for far more flexible leases on commercial premises because I don't expect to, you know, have regular pandemics, hopefully. But
let's hope not.
But it's been a salutary lesson that says if you've got a 5-year or a 10-year lease on premises and your business significantly changes, how do you get out of it? I'm particularly stuck in one of those right at the moment in one of my premises in Maidstone. So I think flexibility is going to be the key going forward. And I just want to mention this to you. As you probably know, I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is the first community workspace that came to Kent 10 years ago. And we have 9,000 square feet of flexible space in the centre of the city. But when we first started, it was quite difficult because the planning regulations didn't have a category for what we did. And although the most obvious thing is to make it B1 office, because the space we took over was partly retail, they were really concerned about changing it to office space at that time. So again, it's something I think that we need to look at, and I'd like your view on this, is how we adapt planning regulations quickly for an evolving and moving environment, you know, because the planning regulations hadn't changed for donkey's years before that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. One of the initiatives that we've been working on for the last few months is called TW.Works, and we have a website called TunbridgeWells.Works, which features a lot of the co-working space that's currently available in Tunbridge Wells. And I'd encourage you to have a look at Tunbridge Wells as a location for expanding Fruitworks, because I think, you know, you do really well in the town. And I think the points about planning and tenancy are incredibly valid, because I think we do need to see from landlords, particularly some of the larger institutional landlords, there needs to be a greater flexibility from them in the coming years as to, you know, A, their sort of commercial expectations on revenue and rent, but also a far greater flexibility in how some of their spaces are used. Because if they don't adapt to the changing climate, then they will find a lot more of their premises become vacant and vacant for a longer period of time, which sure. ultimately does them no favours because they're not benefiting from the rent. And I think in terms of councils, yes, there can be a tendency for local authorities to work at a glacial speed when it comes to adapting to some of this change. And I think there are, and there needs to be some greater understanding from local authorities as to the changing needs and demands of their constituent businesses. In terms of business rates, you know, there's a lot of lobbying going on, firstly around, you know, greater rates relief in the forthcoming 12 months to help businesses through the pandemic. And I do think there needs to be another business rates holiday for 12 months. And, yeah. you know, if Rishi Sunak is, or any of his team are listening to this, I would encourage them to think about that long and hard. But in the longer term, you know, what we're campaigning through through the Tunbridge Wells Dock Works initiative is for a greater flexibility in business rates in terms of recognising where there's a structural change, as it were, between the usage from retail into office or flexible office. There needs to be some new changes to rateable values, but also greater flexibility on behalf of the local authorities in terms of how some of these planning changes are agreed and pushed through.
Yeah,
we're very lucky in Tunbridge Wells that the local council are part of our Tunbridge Wells.works initiative and incredibly supportive of trying to not just maintain and secure the sustainability of existing businesses, but also working hard on both local and foreign and domestic investment into the town centre, so that vibrancy and that investment continues for the medium to long term.
Sure. Okay. You know, all of those things are great, and they're all the kind of things we need to be discussing. You're absolutely right. Business rates has been a bugbear for businesses for a long, long time anyway. I just, for what it's worth, a few years ago, they proposed a staircase tax. I don't know if you remember that. And Fruitworks has 12 staircases because it's a Victorian warehouse. And that was the end of my business if that had gone through. But luckily, they backed out of that.
Absolutely. Common sense prevails, thankfully.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is something we need to address. You know, I mean, quite clearly, we need to raise local taxes to manage a town. But we also need to make it viable to actually have a business there. So that balance has got to be struck in some way. And I think, you know, the pace of change is what really causes so many issues these days, because change happens so quickly, you know, and things come at us so quickly. We've got to introduce more flexibility into those kind of situations as well. And we've got to, for me, and I think this is where something like a business improvement district can help enormously, is that interface to the council to say, look, you know, locally, this is what we need. Yeah. Locally, this is strategically where we should be going. Yeah. You know, if you try and impose, you know, the trouble with business rates is they're almost imposed kind of nationally. And, you know, town centres are different the world over. Town centres are different the world in Kent. You know, I live in Tenterton, which is a lovely town. And, you know, to a large extent, we've managed to weather the storm because of the type of town it is. You know, it's a tourist destination, so we don't have too many empty properties. But if you go to other towns in Kent, the whole high street's desolate. You know, I know that Dartford had a particular problem a few years ago where almost the entire high street went. So there are different things for different organisations, for different places, and I think that localism is the key. And whilst we're talking about that, here on The Bunker Show, we're great supporters of Shop Local. And one of the beautiful things about Kent as a county is we have loads and loads and loads of small production businesses, especially in food and drink and things like that. And Tunbridge Wells is the home of two of my favourite places, which is Sankey's, the fish.
Yes.
And also Bakehouse 124, the artisan bakery. And for me, those kind of places, I think, are a lot of the future of retail, which is local businesses, artisan, organic, homemade, home-produced kind of products that will fill the gap between, you know, supermarket deliveries and out-of-town supermarket shopping. And again, I don't know if you have any feel for that in Tunbridge Wells, how you see that from a business point of view in terms of the kind of businesses you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, the supermarkets and national chains are great because you can go into them, you know what you can get, and you can get what you want. But it's a fixed line of products in every single store. And where towns are becoming unique again, albeit sort of incrementally, is through the small but growing band of independents and both independent retailers but also independent producers. And the Tunbridge Wells has some really great local independent retailers. We had, believe it or not, in the midst of the pandemic pandemic, we had an independent cheese shop open just right. before Christmas.
Yeah.
And they have absolutely done a roaring trade, because they've sourced some fantastic products, both locally from Kent, but also from across the UK and Europe. And you know, some Saturdays, the socially distanced cube has been out the door and halfway down the road. So, you know, there is a, you know, Camden Road, you've got the Bicycle Bakery is another one you've mentioned, yeah. The Sankey's Fishmongers. There's a whole raft of yeah. fabulous independent and artisan stores popping up, and I think that's what people really want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And cheese, don't even get me started on cheese. I'm a cheese maven. I love cheese. But you're absolutely right. You know, we have cheesemakers in Kent as well, you know, Canterbury Cheese and companies like that. And I think that's the difference. And you know, coming right back to where you started, Ross, I mean, talking about mixed use of the town centre and the high street, I think that's absolutely right. You know, we're going to see retailers that provide a personal service, the kind of thing that you can't get online, you know, where you go into a cheese shop and you don't know what you want to buy. You're going to listen to an expert, let you taste some of the products and things like that. You know, that experiential shopping, I think, is the way that we're going to go with those kind of retailers. And also, you know, we're making the retail experience much more of a social leisure experience, rather than I'm just going to go shopping and buy some stuff.
Yeah, I think the experiential shopping is what everyone misses from supermarkets. As yeah. hard as they try, they yeah. don't have that expertise in fish or cheese or meat or whatever it is. And if you yeah. can go to a, you know, a specialist independent, you will probably get a higher quality of meat, locally sourced, but also you'll get the advice on what type of cut suits yeah. you better, how best to cook it, exactly. how best to store it when you get home. And I think, you know, price is obviously important, but I mean, personally speaking, I don't mind spending a little bit more if I know that I'm going to enjoy what I'm coming home and cooking, despite my somewhat questionable cooking skills. So, right. you know, it's the way forward, I think, for towns going back to providing that local service and local product range. And what we found during the lockdowns and the tiered restrictions is we've been working with an independent web designer who's come up with a website called twdelivery.co.uk. And it's an independent listings website for stores in and around Tunbridge Wells that are still open or providing either click and collect or home delivery for their products right, okay. and services. Mm. And we've seen a phenomenal response to that from local people who've been able to, you know, if they haven't been able to get a delivery of whatever the item is from yeah. from the supermarket because, you know, there's not been any slots open, they can make a few phone calls, get those deliveries from a number of artisan stores and still, you know, get a good product, but locally sourced, locally sold.
No,
and
absolutely.
It's done really well.
I'm smiling because I'm so old. I am so old. I remember local deliveries the first time round. Back in the 60s when I was a kid, I grew up in Bearstead, a village just outside Maidstone. And I worked for a local grocery store and I had a bike with a basket on the front and I used to do deliveries. And of course, we used to get milk deliveries in an electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, 40 years later, that's come back. And I think a lot of businesses that have had to pivot during lockdown, you know, to do takeaways, click and collect and deliveries, I don't think they'll stop doing that when we come back, because I think a lot of them have developed a relationship with their customers that they may not have had before. And again, so local businesses doing that have built their customer base based on availability. So I see that as continuing as well.
I mean, there are some wonderful independent restaurants in Tunbridge Wells. There's one that springs to mind, a really fabulous French bistro on Camden Road called Rendezvous. And the owner of the restaurant was telling me that through lockdown and through doing sort of pivoting the business to offer home deliveries, not only has he been able to remain trading and remain supplying existing customers, but because not every restaurant has been open, he's been able to introduce his cuisine and his cooking to a whole range of new customers that he's serving to. So there are some customers that he's been home delivering to that are looking forward to coming to the restaurant when it opens. And equally, he's been able to maintain and enhance those relationships with existing customers. So I think where businesses have been fleet of foot and changed their model to adapt to this very bizarre climate we find ourselves in, they're doing well. They're certainly keeping their heads above water, and it's given them an extra avenue for revenue post lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. Ross, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much for sparing the time to share that with us on the Business Bunker show. If people want to find out about Tunbridge Wells Together, what's your website?
It's tunbridgewellstogether.co.uk.
Fantastic. And can you give us another shout out for the delivery website that you've got there?
Yep, absolutely. It's www.twdelivery.co.uk.
Fantastic. Ross, thank you so much for that. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Lovely to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Paul.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Fascinating discussion there with Ross Feeney, Chief Executive of the Tunbridge Wells Together Bid Company Business Improvement District. I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson who says, glacial speed, very apt phrase. It's something that we've really got to come to terms with. There's so many elements of planning and regulation that just don't keep up with the pace of change any longer. We can't afford to be held back by poor legislation, but it's really difficult. I can see how difficult it is to keep up because, things change so quickly. So maybe we need a completely different way of handling things like planning and change of use and designation of properties. She also says, as so much has changed so quickly in the last year, surely there must be an important next step for the government to address, both for commercial landlords and their tenants, local flexibility needed to support businesses to thrive again. If they're serious about us recovering the economy, and I'm not entirely sure they are at the moment, to be honest, but if they are serious about recovering the economy, there's an awful lot of work we need to do, and there's going to be a lot of issues that affect every side of this, because things like commercial property is a two-way business street as well. It's not just about the tenant, it's also about the landlords that are running businesses. So, there's a lot of issues to face over the next couple of years. And talking about flexibility of space, Sandra's been back on, and she says, if anyone homeworking needs quiet space for Zooms, interviews or podcasts, one of my rooms for hire will be The Pod, which is a podcasting studio. So do check that out as well. And I think Sandra's based over there in Thanet, if you're in that area. Hey, listen, I managed to catch up with Jules and she had a bit of a rant. I think she carried on about her Wellington boots or something. So let's hear.
It's good to catch up with Jules, the crackly one.
Well, I have moved desks now. Am I any better?
Yeah, you are, but you keep fiddling with your hair and that keeps interfering with your microphone.
Well, I did read this article, Paul Andrews, that the whole thing of Zoom is what are they called, earrings?
Right. Oh, I haven't got any of those.
But you see, when you wear statement earrings, they rattle against the mic. Whoever wrote that article is completely wrong.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's why I leave my statement earrings off.
Sorry, I'm just having a drink of water. I think you look better without, probably. I mean, the only time you could wear them possibly is with your tutu outfit, which, you could wear a matching pair.
Mm.
I've had a bit of a bitty day.
Have you?
Yeah, well, squelchy. You know about my Wellingtons, which are called Wonder Wellingtons from Fit Flops.
Yeah.
But it's a year I've been trying to get a pair back.
Right.
So I had one faulty pair, the seam went in January, and they said absolutely nothing wrong with our Wellingtons, but they did return them and give me a refund. So I bought another pair of the same ones because they're comfortable, and they did exactly the same thing. So I sent them back in November, and I've been having a fight with them ever since about customer service, because yes, they'll give me a refund, but they said that they'd rectified the problem from their factory in Asia, and they're made in the same place as Hunter boots,
right?
And so I said, great, can I get another pair? Can you reserve them for me?
Yeah.
And I'll send mine back, but I'm not sending mine back till you've got some, because I'm still limping about with the broken squelchy ones, because
right.
It's all I've got. So I have a little paper bag over them at the moment, in case I get trench foot, because it's been raining a lot, hasn't it?
Oh, well, tell me about it. My garden's underwater.
Yeah, a little quagmire.
Oh, it's a big quagmire.
Yeah.
Say
that again.
It's a big quagmire.
I just like your face when you say quagmire.
All right. My lake in my garden is now a small inland sea.
Right, okay, well, I suggest a little fishing boat, perhaps, a rig.
I used to have a rowing boat on there, but it's sunk.
Well, it would, knowing your track record for your gardening ailments. Anyway, so I keep writing to this person at FitFlop, and in the end, I demanded, no, we can't reserve you a pair. So this is, you know, it's a year now of no footwear, and they've said that they're faulty. They can't reserve me a pair of the ones that aren't faulty that are coming. So I asked to speak to their supervisor, and apparently she's off sick at the moment.
Mm.
And it's a big company, FitFlop. I mean, you know, they're all over Facebook. So I then said, okay, I'll go online and buy them. And they'd all sold out, absolutely every one. So I went back and I said, this is why I asked you to reserve them, because the minute they were released, and he said, no, we can't reserve them for you. So it's just...
Can't they just return the money?
Well, I could get the money, Paul, but I can't... I bought some Hunter boots meanwhile, and I can't get my great big fat leg in them. Hunter boots must be meant for skinny ladies.
Cut the tops. Put in like we used to do in flares years ago.
Velcro.
You cut the seam and put a triangle in there.
Yeah, they're going to be waterproof then.
Well, it all depends what you put in there, isn't it?
I wonder if chips and dinks could pop something.
I bet they could do something. I bet they could get some plastic in there or something.
Some Lilo.
Yeah.
So it's a bit annoying. And then the other thing that's gone is my sinkerator. So my hot water tap. And I tell you, I've had it since 2016. It's amazing. So you get your filtered water one way and then you're boiling hot water the other way. You know how they work. And I've had to boil a kettle.
God, that's
it
awful.
It takes so long. You never realise, because you have to stand around. So, you know, I'm a Gemini. I don't stand around. So, you know, I'll find something to do. But then I get waylaid because I get involved in what I'm doing. You know, I'll go and do some Twitter, or I'll clean something or whatever. And then the kettle, and then you forget all about what you were doing anyway with your kettle. But it does take a long time.
Yeah.
So I called this company who based in America. And they
don't do kettles there.
No, what do they have there? Faucets or something?
Well, they do, but electric kettles are not very popular in America.
They have gas?
No, they don't use kettles.
They
don't
use?
Well, they use a cafetiere.
Coffee. Yeah. We'll have to ask Nurse Liz. Anyway, so my sinkerator...
Nurse Liz has got a kettle.
Has she? Well, she's quite Anglican, really. Her ancestors probably came from Norfolk or somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think
they brought the kettle
over
with them, though.
No, but they must have sailed over and had
a medieval electric kettle. Yeah. landed on the Mayflower. Yeah.
Something you crank up.
Yeah, exactly.
with your scurvy and, you know, vitamin C and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I was telling you, don't keep looking at your watch. So this sinkerator, so I was on the phone for hours while they were telling me to twiddle with this and twiddle with that. And you know I've got a metal knee. I'm sure the listeners must know that by now.
I'm sure.
You can't really kneel very well, and I can't squat very well, which is why I don't like those Indian toilets. You know, when you travel, they're terrible, those holes. because you have to squat.
Yeah. I know, the mind boggles.
There's been a time, Paul Andrews, when I was on one of those Indian toilets and I had my Indian pantaloons on.
And do we really need to know this?
I can't squat and I've got my little flip-flops on and I don't want a splash, you know, because they're quite grubs.
I'm trying to tie this in. Indian toilets, electric kettles and Wellingtons. Right, okay. I'm back on track. Yeah.
Because in India you wear your pantaloons and you're more baggy stuff.
Of course you do.
So you go all native, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do.
Are you allowed to say that anymore?
Yeah, I don't know.
No native, I don't think you are. Anyway, nobody's listening. So what I had to do, because I had my flip-flops and I didn't want any splashing in this not particularly savoury toilet, I have to stand on one leg. I'm sure I've told you this before. Stand on one leg, balance over the hole in the floor, wobbling in my little flip-flops with my nicely painted toes, and extract my left leg, which doesn't bend, out of my pantaloons and my pants off one leg only, all on one leg wobbling in order to have a little pee, and then still standing on that one leg like a stork, have to get it all back on again. That's what I have to do in an Indian toilet. It's not easy.
I don't know what to say, basically. Really. And anyway, so that fixed your tap, did it?
No. So then I rang my plumber because I didn't get anywhere.
Was he in India?
No, he's in Bricolver.
And was he wearing Wellingtons?
Waders.
Waders, right, okay. Right, I'm back on track now. Yeah.
So I had to call John and he said it's going to be 900, nearly £1,000 to replace it. I said, it's only been since 2016. I said, I can't spend £1,000 every 4 years. Anyway, so I called the Sinkerator local person to Canterbury. He's on furlough and won't come out. He's just sitting at home eating biscuits. So after half an hour with him, I rang my local plumber's merchant and he's trying to source me one, just the bottom bit, not the whole tap, which is what my plumber was quoting for. So I don't need the tap, I just need a little bit underneath. So meanwhile, if you come to my house, nobody can anyway, I won't make you tea because it just takes too long, Paul. Okay. Waiting for that kettle to boil. What do you do?
Blimey.
I mean, instant hot water, once you've had it, oh.
But can I use the toilet?
You can always use the toilet, yeah.
Okay, that's all right then.
As long as you put a little bit of eucalyptus afterwards, deodorise.
Really? Is that what you use?
Yeah, a little bit of eucalyptus.
I'm not a koala, you know.
Well, a little bit of eucalyptus drops on the brush and then swirl it round the basin of the loo. That makes it smell lovely.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Laura would like that on Tenterden toilets.
Why don't you read an email? That'll be useful, wouldn't it?
I might put my glasses on.
You could.
So a plastic bubble, Paul Andrews, has been designed to give stargazers the chance to admire the night sky from the comfort of their bed. Mm. Sounds good to me. And it's been erected.
Go on.
Can we say that on air?
Yeah, go on.
Erected in the grounds of a new hotel. I don't even know about this hotel. Hotel Lush.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Hotel Lush?
I have, yeah.
Oh, I haven't. It's set to take its first bookings once coronavirus restrictions are eased. God, what a time to open a hotel. Mm. After the Nunnery Field site is taken over by new owners in August. Where is Nunnery Fields?
It's actually the next road to where my son lives, Jamie.
Okay, so... By the cricket ground?
Yeah, behind the cricket ground, yeah.
Okay, all right, so near Simon Langton?
Yeah. It's between the cricket ground and Simon Langton School, off the old Dover Road.
Okay, so formerly Kipps Hotel, which I didn't know either, the building will be kitted out with 10 rooms, so it's a boutique hotel, and run a self-check-in service. How very oriental.
Yeah.
Bosses think that the £150 a night pod situated outside could be its most popular feature. And the director is Kyle Dawson, and he told Kent Online, it's the next level up from glamping. People like glamping, but they don't like getting muddy, especially if they haven't got Wellingtons.
Yeah,
sharing a shower, no, or being in the cold. So we've got something that mitigates against that.
Right.
Half of the pod has a clear view of the sky, and the other half is white plastic. So we've equipped the bubble with a projector that allows them to watch TV inside. We have a telescope in there, so guests can do stargazing in the bubble.
Right.
And they can actually look at the stars while they're laying in bed. I like that. That's great. That's very David Attenborough, isn't it?
Yeah, so interesting, isn't it?
Actually, it's not David Attenborough that looks at stars. Who is
no,
it?
No.
Patrick. What's his name?
It was Patrick Moore, but he passed away a long time ago.
I know, but we're quite elderly, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's interesting, isn't it? Completely different take on something. Yeah.
I might get in touch with old Kyle Dawson and have a natter about Lush, Hotel Lush.
Yeah.
And it is true about camping, because I always say it's a little bit, you know, when you have to share showers in the morning, I'm not that mad on hearing everybody burping and that in the morning.
Sure.
There's a Microsoft Word training session with our friend Alex Waterton, and he's going to be providing a 4-day interactive training course, which is aimed at providing staff with top tips and tricks to get the most out of Microsoft Word. And the course is free for up to 2 members of your staff, and it'll take place live alongside other attendees, allowing attendees to ask questions during the session. It's free, as I said, for up to 2 members of staff. If you have additional staff, it'll be charged at just £80 a person, and that's for 4 days exclusive training course with Microsoft certified Alex Waterton. And for existing ADM clients, please contact your account manager for further information. If you'd like to provide this training service to your customers, or you're interested in personalised and additional large-scale staff training, please contact, and this is an email, and it's it'll be on the Kent Business website. It's a long, long email.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
You'll go on the link there.
Yeah.
But it's the location is online, obviously, at the moment, but it's the 16th to the 19th of Feb. And it's 11 to 12 every day, 16th to 19th of Feb. And you can also book your place by emailing penelope.mak@adm-computing.co.uk. And you can also go and find out about F-Keys by going to f-keys.co.uk and have a look there, and you'll find how brilliant they all are.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. While you're thinking about your next one to read, I just want to say a big thank you. I want to say a big thank you to Dee Ford, who's the Managing Director of Michael Park Surveyors. I had calls to give her a call to ask her for some advice on a commercial lease, and she was incredibly helpful. So big shout out and thank you to Dee at Michael Park Surveyors. Thank you so much.
I saw your tweet about that, actually. Was that about Fruitworks or something else?
No, something else. I'm not talking about it at the moment because it's causing me grief. But Dee was very, very helpful.
Oh, was it this one?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so, well, we better not say no more.
Yeah.
Nay, say no more.
Very good.
A new bistro is to open. I love a bistro. Opposite Ashford's Curious Brewery at the end of the month, even if lockdown is still on, Paul Andrews. So what does that mean? They'll be doing takeaways, I guess.
I guess so.
Cafe Grace is filling a unit in Victoria Road. Do you know Victoria Road?
Yeah, it's opposite the brewery. Yeah,
I don't really know Ashford very well. I remember you talked me through it once as I was driving.
Well, the brewery is owned by Chapeldown Wine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they brew the Curious Brew there, this new restaurant is right opposite. Yeah.
Do you get that nice sort of hoppy, yeasty smell every now and then when you're there?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's Victoria Road, and they're going to offer a wide variety of food and hot drinks. There'll be breakfast, lunch and dinner, a wide selection of cakes, omelettes, jacket potatoes and paninis. Hot meals will also be on offer throughout the day at the new venture, which will have a capacity for 50 indoor diners and up to 30 outdoors, which is brilliant. Not mad on a panini, Paul Andrews, but I'd have the omelette and I'd have the jacket potato, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting how there are quite a few places that are planning to open, new ones. We've got a new restaurant in Tenterton that's just opened. I think it's called the Hoof and Hook or something.
I thought we weren't mentioning hooves today.
Yeah, yeah. It's a steak restaurant. Thank you. It's a steak restaurant, and it's where Cafe Rouge used to be in the High Street.
So it's an independent taking over from a chain.
Yeah, they've got another one. They've got an existing restaurant in Rye, so they've got the two now. It looks wonderful. They're doing takeaways. They've just opened and they're doing takeaways at the moment. But once it's open fully and we're allowed back out, I'm looking forward to going there.
Do you think there's a sort of a bit of a confidence now we're bashing out? I mean, really, we have been amazing, the UK, yeah, on this vaccine, and I think it is giving us all a little bit of hope, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got to unlock sometime, and I think I think people are taking the opportunity to develop something while they can't do anything else, which makes sense, yeah, if you think about it. You know, if you're going to open a premises, you might as well do it while you can't open, if you see what I mean, and get it ready so that you're ready to launch when you can, you know. So, fingers crossed for all of them. I hope they're all very successful.
I want to read you something, which I've just put on my Twitter. It's just lovely. So, you know, I'm a big supporter of local shops, as you are.
Yeah.
And Staines Farm, who deliver to my mum, who's 90, Ruth, I wanted to put in an order for some pineapples and that. It wasn't a very big order, but I wanted some pineapples and some tangerines and some lemons. Not a huge order. So I thought I'll put it in with my mum's huge order, because she gets one about every 3 weeks of all her veg and all her fruit. And I'll have it all delivered to mine so it saves them time, because I know they're just a small business. And Dave gets up goes into London in the night, in the middle of the night, to get all the stuff. So he said this morning, I ordered it last night. And he says, "Hi, Jules. This is at this morning. Just a quick update from the shop. Your order is being done today. You may have it already on your doorstep. Hopefully, we'll have some plantains for you tomorrow," because I asked for some plantains and they're not very Kentish, but he's got me some, so he's amazing. So he's going to deliver them tomorrow. Local plantains.
Yeah.
He's just shinning up a tree to get them.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Get this, and your mum's order will be done tomorrow too. The reason for this is that Ben always delivers to your mum, and he likes to stop and have a chat to make sure she's okay."
Ah, lovely.
"But Ben is off today, so he wants to deliver it all in person when he's at work tomorrow morning."
Oh, how lovely.
And my heart just said, you know, would you get that from Mr. Sainsbury?
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't, would you?
No, I think... I think this is a thing that's going to be a much bigger when we come back from this, is the human side of service. You know, we've spent far too long using technology as a weapon to separate us from the customer. And I think the big thing now is for small businesses to go heavy on customer service and when we're allowed, face-to-face service and relationship-based service. I think that's the future. And people will pay a few pounds more for it. They will.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Staines don't charge me a bean for delivery. And, you know, I just know how hard they work. There's the online car retailer, Cazoo.
Yeah.
And that's something you play with your lips.
Yeah.
And they've opened a new customer care centre in Tunbridge. Mm. The premises is in Five Oak Green Road, and it's the 16th that's opened by the company in the past 4 months. So they're rocketing then. Mm. And the firm's ethos is make buying a used car online as simple as ordering any other product. And the company has spent $1 million on its latest centre, which has resulted in the creation of 15 jobs. Well done. And they're fully reconditioned on all its cars before offering them to sale. Hill on its website with a 90-day warranty. And Alex Chesterman has founded the company in 2018, and he says, "We've been delighted by the response of consumers to our online car buying proposition." So well done there. And we've also got an Ashford, a lot of Ashford this week.
Yeah.
Ashford-based charity is to launch a string of special events next week to coincide with National Apprenticeship Week. And it's CXK, which provides the apprenticeship support and knowledge program in the southeast, and they'll unveil the Big Apprenticeship Conversation, which is 10,000 voices, which will leave more than 200 themed events connecting students, teachers, parents and job seekers with information and opportunities. So this is brilliant. Let's all get behind this. You want to go to Kent Business Radio website and look on for the link National Apprenticeships Week 2021 to get behind that. Sounds amazing. 10,000 voices.
Sounds good.
Very, very good.
So this week is National Apprenticeship Week. There's lots of things happening. So do get involved. You know, youth unemployment is at a record level at the moment, and we need to try and sort anything out.
And it's very strange because, I mean, you know, my plumber and my builder are having to now come round at 6 o'clock at night because they're working all day.
So busy, yeah.
But how do they find the apprentice? You know, it's just very difficult. And my plumber's tearing his hair out because he's so busy. And my builder, same thing. Yeah, my absolutely. Builder's booked up till May now.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong, you've got no leeway.
Right, I think that's enough for today.
Have I exhausted you?
Yeah, we have. We've kind of run out of time. Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah.
Stay safe. I hope you get your wellies sorted out. And
so
we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye now.
That was Jules and the Saga of the Wellies. We're fast running out of time, so I want to move straight on and give you an update on the Federation of Small Business.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Coming up on Wednesday, the 10th of February, that's tomorrow, manana, 12 to 1, is BAME Networking, BAME Led Businesses Roundtable. To take part, if you contact Alison at the Federation of Small Business by email, alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk, to take part in that. On Thursday, the 25th of February, there is a Women in Business brunch in Folkestone. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of the Holistic Home. I'll give you the link to book these in a minute. There's on Wednesday, the 17th of February, learn about the pros and cons of selling online in marketplaces such as Amazon, eBay and Etsy. Learn about the pros and cons of selling online to grow your direct-to-consumer sales. This webinar will be of interest to small businesses looking to take advantage of the trend towards online selling. Link to come in a moment. The links for those, let me just give you the other ones that are all on the same link and then we can get them out of the way all in one go. Membership matters on Wednesday the 24th of February, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Find out what FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can, as well as networking with other small businesses. All of those events that I've just mentioned can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, or go into the website bizradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab, and you can find all of those there with links to book them. The FSB also have a legal hub, and it enables you to browse over 1,100 documents, fact sheets and templates covering a host of categories, and it's all available 24/7. It covers HR, debt recovery, health and safety, cyber security and much, much more. There's also a wealth of helpful resources and documents related to COVID-19. To access the hub, simply log into fsb.org.uk and you can click through from the dashboard. There's a resource, How to Stay Compliant with Workplace Pensions. As an employer, it's your responsibility to ensure a compliant workplace pension is in place for all eligible employees. Even if you only employ one person, you're still responsible for making sure that they have a pension scheme set up and that you carry out your duties. Failure to do so can result in fines, so it pays to stay up to date. You can be proactive about your pensions. Find out all about it by going to fsb.org.uk/resources/how-to-stay-compliant. fsb.org.uk/resources/how-to-stay-compliant. You're not alone. Looking after our mental health and well-being is important. There's a download of a free guide available, and you can also visit the FSB Care Hub. If you go to kempbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB Care, you can download your free wellbeing guide, and you can also find a link to the Care Hub where they have lots of resources to support you. The FSB have also announced an app, a phone app. With the new FSB app, we're by your side wherever you are. Manage your membership on your mobile, access your benefits, and find out what's happening near you. It's never been easier to make the most of FSB. Simply click on the Apple App Store button if you're an iPhone user, or the Google Play Store if you have an Android phone, and download the FSB app. That's the news from the FSB for this week. That's really all of we've got time for on the Business Bunker Show this week. I want to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce and Lock Associates, to our guests, Simon and Ross Pollard of Simple Life Circles, Ross Feeney, CEO of Tunbridge Wells Together, the Business Improvement District. Good to catch up with Jules. Thank you to everybody that tweeted recommendations for supporting local shops, traders and suppliers. Thank you to everybody that emailed and tweeted. Stay safe, everybody. We'll be back with another Business Bunker Show next Tuesday, and we'll see you all soon. And thank you for your support.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.